broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist.
And he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it.
It contains valerian root extract, rose hips extract.
I am Stephen Hawking. I do not believe in God or the afterlife.
Yeah, Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Happy Monday night, and welcome to The Thing here. And, you know, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they won't, and they don't, and like that. Get a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video of the show right now. This is the only radio show that's worth watching. The only radio show that's worth watching. You want to go ahead and throw your money away on some of these? I'm a video pass to see so and so as he sits there in front of the big sign, and he never moves a muscle, and whoever it is, and you know, just talks to whoever's calling and that, and wears a suit and a tie.
Yeah, you're more psychotic.
Psychotic, huh?
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Well, that's true.
All right, well, I'm sorry that I brought it up, but the point is get a backstage pass. You can go to philhenryshow.com and pick that up. You can also get our archived audio there. You can get our live podcast, our daily podcast, as well as our Classic Phil podcast. Coming up later on tonight, we're going to have Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization talking about the mother who was injecting her 8-year-old daughter with Botox, if you can believe that one. Her 8-year-old daughter with Botox. And this hour, we're going to be discussing a rather interesting line from, I say line, it's almost as if the guy is, in show business, but in a lot of ways he is. Stephen Hawking, the great scientist who said there's no heaven. Stephen Hawking. It's a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. And we're going to have Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us. Dr. Turner is a member of the staff there at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. And Margaret Gray, by the way, will be on with us later on this show in the third hour, I believe. Right, bud?
Yeah, she's going to come on the last hour.
And she's going to sing Calling You from Baghdad Cafe because she's going to be in the play. I don't know what it is, some dinner theater thing. In any event, I better not. Don't tell her I said that. Our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KUFO 970 AM in Portland and WAVH 106.5 FM in Mobile, Alabama. Although I got a tweet this weekend from some dumbass up in Oregon, and nobody from the radio station. And so we may want to double check that one, Jace. But you know how it is, right? All right, 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. Phil, and on the line with us is Dr. Ron Turner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And Dr. Turner is going to join us here in just a moment. Ron, how are you doing this evening?
Very well, Phil. Thank you for inviting me on with this conversation.
You're welcome. First thing I want to do is, well, actually, I thought I had audio, but it was just Stephen Hawking saying that he has a backstage pass.
Well, that's very good. And I would like to get one, too.
Well, no time like the present.
Exactly.
All right. In any event, the story is that Stephen Hawking says a belief that heaven or an afterlife awaits us is a fairy story. Dr. Hawking, as you know, is one of the most eminent scientists in the world. Many compare him to the genius of Einstein. Dr. Hawking has done serious work in astrophysics and has been obviously published and a winner of a Nobel Prize. As well, having to do with his work in the field of black holes, I believe. So he's an eminent man, and as I said, there are some who think, who have the opinion that he perhaps could be as brilliant, as revolutionary, and perhaps as legendary as at some time in the future as Dr. Albert Einstein. He's saying here that there is no heaven. He says, quote, I've lived with the prospect of an early death for the last 49 years. I am not afraid of death. As you know, he has Lou Gehrig's disease.
He does, Phil. And the other thing I think people should know about Dr. Hawking is that he is a man who was an athlete before he contracted this terrible disease. He was a soccer player, as they say in England. So this is a man who lost quite a bit. And now he's in a wheelchair.
Right. So he's right. So he has stared at the prospect of death And not only that, but it's almost been like a living death for that man because Lou Gehrig's disease is a paralyzing ailment. I can't even imagine what it must be like for people who have this. It's a paralyzing ailment. And in the case of Dr. Hawking, I think the only movement the poor man has is his ability to blink. Is that right?
I think so. Dr. Hawking also utilizes some apparatus on his wheelchair, which is designed for him, which allows him mobility and locomotion by utilizing, I think, some sort of a switch that he could activate with the motion of his head or the movement of his head.
All right. So he definitely has a life that none of us would want. He says, and he does this by way of computer when he makes these statements or he writes, he says, "I'm not afraid of death. I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There's no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark." Hawking's latest comments go beyond those laid out in his 2010 book, The Grand Design, in which he asserted that there is no need for a creator to explain the existence of the universe. The book provoked a backlash from some religious leaders who accused Hawking of committing an elementary fallacy of logic. The physicist's remarks draw a stark line between the use of God as a metaphor and the belief in an omniscient creator whose hands guide the workings of the cosmos. In the interview, Hawking rejected the notion of life beyond death and emphasized the need to fulfill our potential on Earth by making good use of our lives. And you have been long a critic of Stephen Hawking.
Yes, I have been.
But you agree with him here.
I do, and it is very difficult because I have not been a big Stephen Hawking fan. I heard what you were saying about him, Phil, and the accolades you were according him. Stephen Hawking is responsible for some amazing discoveries and amazing theory. I think he's also a man who is capable of some unbelievable leaps of logic, which the rest of us just immediately assume must be the foundations of truth, because he is disabled, because he seems to have a great life despite the fact that he's in this wheelchair. But I do have to agree with him when it comes to this.
All right, tell me why.
Well, the reason, Phil, I think is very obvious. There is only one thing we can hold on to in this world, and I don't want to get anyone angry at me. I'm not here to debate the existence of God. I'm simply here as the only man, a representative of the only profession there is on Earth that stands between us and devastation, that stands between us and the cave, that stands between mankind and returning to a cave and eating wild animals, going back to hunting and gathering, and that is science. And as a scientist, I am proud of my profession because we deal only in fact.
Do you believe in God?
Well, you know, if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But I understand that there is no way that's relevant. In other words, Phil...
When you say that there's no relevance to God, then you would say there's no relevance to heaven. But that's different from saying it doesn't exist.
Well, in the case of heaven, I have to agree with Dr. Hawking that there is no heaven. If you ask me, is there an intelligent design, I don't know, perhaps. But that doesn't mean I don't believe in evolution. And I would have to say that Dr. Hawking, as much as I dislike him, and I don't like him, and I don't fall for what a lot of people fall for, which is he's in a wheelchair, I just feel so bad for him, and... He must be so lonely. Well, no, he's not lonely, and I've got into that with you.
Let's not talk personally about him. Let's just stick to the topic here.
Right. Well, the point is this. Dr. Hawking says something that needs to be said, and that is there is science, and then there is the abyss. As a scientist, I am able, and I'm very proud of this, to take my place among others in a profession that, in many ways, is a sort of a priesthood. I don't say that I'm a priest, but we are the truth-givers, of the scientists, because we work with truth. We work with those things that can be trusted. I don't want to be controversial. The last thing that I want is controversy. The last thing I want to do is make anyone angry. Phil, I deal in strictly truth and fact when I say that I am personally more important than Jesus Christ.
And you don't want to be controversial?
I cannot. No, I don't. I honestly don't.
Well, then why would you say something like that?
Because it's the truth. I don't want to be controversial.
But even if it was the truth, why would you say that?
Because it is the truth. And so...
You must know that it's going to be a controversial statement.
I don't think it's controversial. Even if you're one who believes in Jesus, you would understand why I would think I was more important than him.
Well, if you're one who believes in Jesus, you are one who believes that only Jesus has importance, and everything else falls behind Jesus, that Jesus is God, right?
No, I understand that. But if you believe in Jesus, but you know that Dr. Rod Tarter is a scientist, it would be logical for me to say that I'm more important than Jesus, wouldn't it?
If you were not a believer in Jesus, are you a believer in Jesus Christ?
I believe in God.
You believe in God. You know, I think that's going to confuse a lot of people, all right?
Well, I don't believe in the same God that other people believe in. Perhaps that makes things a little bit easier. I don't believe in the... I'm not a Christian, but I'm not here to offend Christians. I'm here to tell what I see as the truth. And Dr. Hawking, I think, did the same thing. I think he said, I don't want to offend anyone. I'm simply here to tell you the truth. And the truth is, there's no heaven, that when you die, that'll be the end of it. No matter how good a life you've lived, no matter how bad a life you've lived. And
so we all go to the same place, huh? Adolf Hitler, me, Mother Teresa, we all go to the same spot. Even Jesus went to the same place.
Well, that is what, as a scientist, I have to believe because I have no other evidence.
You know that Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
I understand that, yes.
And you don't believe that happened.
I'm not going to make comments. I only want to comment on Dr. Hawking, all right? And that what Dr. Hawking said, and again, and I want to make this point very clear, I don't like Stephen Hawking. I think he's arrogant. I think I question his personal habits. I question his relationship with women. I think he's had a lot of girlfriends, and I don't think he's treated them very well. And I don't particularly think I think he's very unkind to his fellow scientists. But in this case, my hat's off to him. I have to say as well that heaven is a ridiculous idea. But the difference between me and Stephen Hawking is I'm not so arrogant as to want anyone to pay attention to me or to interview me because I've said that.
Well, if you believe this, and you, I take it, where are you, man? It sounds like there's...
You know, Phil, they're doing some... cutting of metal here. We're opening up a new series of offices. If you want, I can move into another area.
It's a little bit loud, yeah. This is an interesting point that you're making here because you're saying that you don't want to be controversial, you don't want to anger anybody, you don't want to piss anybody off, but the fact is there's no heaven and you're more important than Jesus.
I say that again, Phil, with all due respect, yes.
And you also say that because logically, scientifically, you cannot believe anything else. Now, Dr. Hawking is going to get an awful lot of heat for this. And on the other hand, though, you're not Stephen Hawking.
No, I'm not Stephen Hawking, but I don't consider myself any less a scientist. I think Stephen Hawking got famous because he got, as we say in our business, Hawking got famous because he got, he got into a chair. He got chair bound.
So you're thinking that Stephen Hawking is only famous because he's in a wheelchair?
I don't think that's the only reason, but I think that's why people pay an inordinate amount of attention to him. But in this case, I'm happy for him to take the heat. But I've said something that I think is a little more controversial than what he said. He said that heaven doesn't exist. I say that I am more important than Jesus. I don't think I'll get the same press attention because Hawking gets more attention because he's in a wheelchair.
I remember when John Lennon said that the Beatles were more important than Jesus, and he tried to explain that. And let me take a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Hold on there, Ron. Dr. Ron Tarter with us, commenting on Dr. Stephen Hawking. There is no heaven. It's a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. This is one of the most famous scientists ever. And I don't even know whether a Stephen Hawking's comments on heaven or hell or God are relevant at all. He's a scientist, and as Dr. Tarner just said, scientists deal in the here, the now, and the tangible, and those things we can touch. So perhaps they have nothing really to offer. But in Ron Tarner's world, he says for the first time he agrees with Dr. Hawking. 877-876-PHIL. Are scientists more important than Jesus? Well, to a Christian, no, they're not. But to a scientist, at least to this man here, Dr. Ron Tarner, they are. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Scientists are, I guess, you know, they're part of the upper echelon. They're part of the intelligentsia. They're part of the leading class of thinkers, right? With me is Dr. Ron Tarner, who's talking about Stephen Hawking. Hawking is the eminent scientist who is in a wheelchair because of Lou Gehrig's disease.
And Phil, the way to identify, if I could.
Go ahead.
The way to identify Stephen Hawking for most people is to say he is the scientist who looks horribly deformed in a wheelchair. He's horribly deformed.
Well, I wouldn't call him deformed. His muscles have tightened to the point. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. But I some people have been cruel. They called him a human pretzel. They've horrible things. But the man looks, when you see him, he looks horrific. And
well, he looks like a man whose muscles have wasted away. I wouldn't necessarily call it horrific. I want to get back to this point that we're making, and then get to some phone calls. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Hawking said there is no heaven. You have stated here that we can't really debate heaven or hell or God's existence, but we can debate one thing. Are scientists given enough respect?
Absolutely. And I think that's what Dr. Hawking is saying. He is trying to draw attention to the scientific community and say, look at what we have done for the human race, and we get very little credit, and we get very little respect. And so I have to come out and say something to get people refocused on us. And
well, does Dr. Hawking believe this?
Yes, he believes it. But these are things we don't ordinarily say. But this is an important thing to say. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There's science. And for once in the lives of the American people, and perhaps in the lives of the people of the human race, have the common decency to give us respect. We're the ones that came up with those vaccines that keep your child from getting mumps, keep your child from getting measles. And what do? You stop giving your child those vaccines because you heard Jenny McCarthy say something, and the next thing you know, we have an epidemic starting all over again of whooping cough. We're the ones that came up with the polio vaccine. And what do you think happens? The Muslim religion in India tells people that the polio vaccine is a way for Christians to wipe out Muslims. So don't give your child the polio vaccine. In other words, religion.
Well, wait. Jenny McCarthy's not religious. You know, she's saying that she feels it causes autism.
And it's the same superstitious mumbo-jumbo.
Jenny McCarthy was saying that vaccines are what cause autism, though.
It's superstitious mumbo-jumbo. Stephen Hawking is trying to refocus people, slap people across the face, and wake them up to the fact that we're getting treated badly as scientists.
All right, 877-876-7445. We've got about a minute left in this segment. I'll have to go very quickly. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How are you doing, Phil?
Fine. Thank you. 40 seconds.
I would just like to point out to the doctor there that there are scientists who also believe in God, and that there are scientific ways to explain the claims that Christians have.
I don't want to debate religion. I'm simply saying to you, I'm sure that there may be, I don't think there are, but if you want to believe that, that's great. I'm just saying that for all intents and purposes, I'm more important than Jesus, if you think about it.
No, you're not, because Jesus changed the world in such a positive way and put forth such a positive message.
Right.
Excuse me.
Message.
And I don't.
All right, Chris, hold on. Chris, I want you to stay with me.
Chris,
stay with me. Stay with me, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner, Chris, and the rest of your phone calls coming up on Stephen Hawking. Heaven doesn't exist.
That is it. Oh, okay.
Phil Hendry.
Stick around.
Get the can.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back to our show here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner about the statements of Dr. Stephen Hawking that heaven does not exist. Heaven is a fairy story for people that are afraid of the dark. And Dr. Tarner, you have had a public and longstanding feud and dislike of Dr. Hawking, but you agree with him here. We're going to get back to our caller who had joined us as we were really running out of time in the last half hour. It's Chris. Chris, you were making a statement, and I think, Dr. Tarner, your last statement was basically you're more important than Jesus.
Well, let me just say one thing, though, before Chris, again, I am not here to cause controversy. I'm simply here to state what I see is as
heard your point, sir.
And I am more important than Jesus, because did Jesus come up with the tetanus shot? No.
Did you come up with the tetanus shot, sir?
Well, if you're going to make that argument, then the doctor
did,
that did come
cannot
up with the tetanus shot should be, if you're going to make that argument, then the doctor that did come up with the tetanus shot should be more important than Jesus. Yeah, see?
You might have me on that one, but my point is Jesus is an important person because of the positive impact he had on the world. And his ministries, who do you think distributes the medicine in impoverished countries? Those are Christian organizations. And who do you think has outreach programs to educate people and help people of all personalities and all types in all countries? You cannot refute the positive impact of Christianity.
Not at
and
all.
You
not at all.
Christian,
I'm not doing that.
That
I'm not doing
not,
that.
That
I'm saying
not
that I'm more important.
Science. You're trying
no,
to make
I'm
the
saying
point that Christianity is a rejection of science, and there are ways to use science to prove
that's what it sounds
that
like.
Christianity is correct, and there are theories that exist. You can,
there is
science
no heaven
cannot explain the emotions
Dr. Hawking
that I have.
Saying,
science cannot
Dr. Hawking, oh, yes, I can.
Many of the
yes,
things
I can.
That go on in the
yes,
world.
Yes, I can. I can explain your emotions, and I can affect your emotions by way of biochemistry. Very easy to explain.
You
yes,
can
by way of
my emotions, but you can't explain why I feel one way. You can't explain the free will that
of
I have.
Of course I can.
You can't.
No, you're not hearing him. You said you can't explain why. You can't explain his emotion. You may affect his emotion, but you don't know why he feels the way he feels.
He feels the way he feels because of certain biochemical reactions that...
No. The biochemical reactions are the result of something.
No, they're not. That's what causes it.
Anyways,
what do you mean that's what
we've gotten on a tangent.
Yeah.
The point that I'm trying to make here is that Dr. Hawking says there's no heaven, it's a fairy tale, and I think what's offended you is the use of the term fairy tale, because you think he's referring to you as some kid.
I understand the use of the word fairy tale as an immature usage of language on your part. And if
no, Dr. Hawking used Dr. Hawking called it that.
Because
Dr. Hawking
like
called it a fairy story.
Faith,
right. Well,
okay.
Look, Dr. Hawking,
but,
he's right. Dr. Hawking did call
it
a fairy. Dr. Hawking called it a fairy story. Okay, not Ron Tarner. 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. But other than that, what would be your statement concerning the other points he made? Because he's saying that he made a really good point. Christianity doesn't reject science.
Look, Bill, I don't really know. I was trying to listen to what he was saying, but I've had so many conversations with people like that that I know enough not to get into. I don't want to get into an argument, so I sort of shut down. And that is not to say that I don't listen, but I've listened to enough arguments by people who believe in religion to I pretty much know what they're going to say.
Well, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, do you not listen to people who believe in religion?
I don't, because, yes, I do, but I don't. I mean, I don't already know what they're going to say. They've all said the same thing over and over and over again. My point is simply this, that I don't want to be more important than Jesus Christ. Believe me when I tell you I don't want to be, because I know what that means to me and to my family. It is a hardship for me. It causes my son to be ridiculed at school.
What, in what way? What are you talking about?
Well, I've given comments before to the press or to local groups, and I've said that as scientists, we're more important than priests. As scientists, we're more important than, you know, clerics, and therefore I am more important than Jesus Christ. So my point is...
Well, so therefore you're more important than Jesus Christ. All right, so you're going to say something like that, you're going to get people angry at you.
I know that, Phil, but I don't want to get people angry at me, but I have no choice. I have to speak the truth, and as a result of me speaking choice, hold on for a minute. Turn that down, please, because it's driving me. I have to speak the truth, because if I don't, then I have no integrity. But because I say what is the truth, that I'm more important than Jesus Christ, my son gets ridiculed at school, my wife gets comments are made about her, and so forth. And so I don't want to do that. Believe me, I'd do anything in the world to try to keep from being persecuted by these people.
Boy, you're really flipping the metaphor on its head, aren't you? You're being persecuted now. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, we are, because what do you mean flipping it on its head?
Well, it's just usually you hear people who are into religion saying that, but you're saying you're being persecuted.
I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you that I am. You know, and that's why what rankles me a little bit is while Stephen Hawking has everyone talking about what a big shot he is, and yes, he made a very important statement when he said that heaven was a fairy tale, although I would have used another word, I've been talking about being more important than Jesus longer, and no one's written about that until recently.
And that's when your son and your wife... And
you know, that's right, Phil. And you don't have to blow it off like it's your son, like I'm imposing on you. And
no, I'm just I haven't heard this before. So you claim a kind of persecution. 877-876-7445. Here is Joe in Flagstaff, Arizona. We're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner about Stephen Hawking's claim there is no heaven. It's a fairy story. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, listen, how can you claim that you're more important than Jesus? That's absolutely absurd. Jesus started an entire religion, changed the whole shape of the world, in the way of religion, has done more important things in his morality. So what? Well, what have you done?
Yeah.
Who are you?
As a scientist, I've created vaccines that have cured diseases, that have changed the world. As scientists, we've created fuels, and we've created. You've heard of science?
No, well, I've heard.
Or have you?
I've heard of science. Well, of course, I've heard of science.
All right. I'm more important than Jesus.
No, but you individually.
It doesn't make any difference. I am science.
You
as a scientist. Well, you can laugh if you want, sir. But you can laugh if you want. But tell me,
you're absolutely absurd.
Did we not create things that changed the world, too? What you just attributed to Jesus, I attribute, and excuse me for saying this, more important things to science.
Like what? What's more important?
I just told you, the curing of diseases, the creations of fuels and nutritional supplements for food, the new ways of growing food.
Hey, Mr. Carter, science,
science
cannot...
Space. Did Jesus
travel
through space?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Hey,
can
I get a word in here? Listen.
Go ahead, sir.
Science cannot explain life. still to this point? Why is there something instead of nothing? Listen, Stephen Hawking doesn't know if there's a God any more than you know if there's a God.
I think Stephen Hawking has a better idea of whether there's a God than you or I. Look at the place that man is in. Look at the world he looks at every day. Look at the reality. And he's not afraid of dying. That man,
he can call it
he's not afraid of dying. He's got more guts than you or I.
What, well, why do you say that? Because he has Lou Gehrig's disease?
Because he has Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's spitting into the face of all of these myths.
What does guts have to do with anything? What does guts have
got
to do
guts.
With whether or
he's
not Jesus Christ is more important than you? You're ridiculous. How could you,
how could you deny that? Because I just gave you 58 reasons. Do you want 59? I don't know what to tell you.
No, but you're saying you individually. Science is science.
I am science. Have you ever seen these commercials on TV when the lady says,
Are you suggesting, Wells Fargo? Are you suggesting that science is more important than religion, sir?
Of course. Oh, that goes without saying.
Well, that's absolutely absurd. That's ridiculous.
Well, no, it isn't. No, because that you just stumbled into an air. Boy, have I got you now. I've got you pinned down. If this was a wrestling match, it'd be over.
Well, bring it. I haven't heard anything. You haven't gotten me down.
I just told you. What, did Jesus cure polio? No. Did Jesus fly into space?
No.
Did Jesus do any of that?
Hey,
no, he didn't cure your leprosy.
Did he ever raise anybody from the dead? Hey, Dr. Tarner, ever raise anybody from the dead? As a matter of fact, yes, we have.
As you know, we have.
How about you know that we have. Cure blindness?
And we've cured leprosy. Science has cured leprosy and blindness.
You've cured blindness.
Science has cured blindness. Science has cured leprosy and raised people from the dead. Next.
Have you ever raised
Oh, well, come on.
Have you ever raised yourself from the dead, Doc? Have you ever
after getting off the phone with you, I'll have to raise myself from the dead, yes.
Well, that's a smart-ass answer.
I'm sorry, but, you know.
Well, you're sorry what? That's a smart-ass answer.
Did you forget the world of
sins,
Dr.
Tarner?
Did you take the world's sins on your back, and did you manage to give everybody forgiveness so that they had a way to have a relationship with God? Did you do that, Dr. Tarner?
Yes, I did. Yeah, last Tuesday.
You and your science did that. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I did, yeah. What difference does it make? I could claim that I did and have a whole bunch of people believing it.
No,
all right, I think we're getting into a discussion here.
I could say you're more important than Jesus yet. I've convinced a lot of people other than you that we have raised people from the dead, we cured, leprosy, the whole deal. We did it.
When did you walk on water, Dr. Tarner? When did you walk on water and turn water into wine? Because we haven't got through all the miracles yet.
You can turn water into wine every day. They do it in Northern California. What are you talking about?
Well, they turn water to wine. They have grapes. And
yeah, through a fermented. What do you call it? Fermentation? Yeah. You know, you can laugh if you
more
want.
People,
but everything
more
this
people
guy
know
has
who
said,
Jesus is and knows who Dr. Tarter is or whatever
so?
His name is. That's,
more people know who Jack the Ripper is. More people know who Jack the Ripper is than know me. What's that proof?
So I guess that means Jack the Ripper is more important than you, too, dummy.
I suppose. Maybe
gotcha.
In your world.
Gotcha there.
You didn't get me. You know something? If this was a wrestling match, I would have had a thumb up your. You know what? My name isn't Tarter. What'd you call me? Torpor? My name is Tarter.
Carter?
Tarner.
What?
Oh, you know you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. It's a good call. Thank you very much, Joe. 877-876 Phil. As we talk about whether or not science is more. This is a ridiculous conversation. And, you know, I should know better, but Dr. Stephen Hawking, he started it. But anyway, Dr. Hawking was quoted today as having said, there is no heaven. It's a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. And Dr. Ron Tarner, I suppose a red letter day, if nothing else, Dr. Tarner's on agreeing with Dr. Stephen Hawking for the very first time in our experience. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. Coming up next hour, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization on Botox and children and that ridiculous story about the little kid getting the Botox. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877 877- 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and with us Dr. Ron Turner here as we discuss with him this comment by Dr. Stephen Hawking, which has got a few people upset. Dr. Hawking is noted for some controversial statements having to do with religion, and I suppose that it is to be expected from the world of science. Excuse me while I try to, I'm trying to shut off a fan here. Dr. Turner, before we go to another phone call, you've made the statement, you're more important than Jesus. I don't know that I know whether you're speaking of yourself personally or science. I think that's what confused the last caller.
Well, Phil, again, Dr. Stephen Hawking, an eminent scientist, a man who I've had personal disputes with, a man who I'm defending today. I'm defending Dr. Stephen Hawking today, and I'm doing that because I believe in truth, and I believe that he made a very truthful statement, even though I know Dr. Hawking as a human being is not what I would call an upstanding human being, and yet here I am defending him. Therefore, I am saying that I am of kinship, brotherhood, comradeship. I am one with the scientific community, as is Dr. Hawking. So if you ask me, am I more important than Jesus? Yes, I am. I am science. I mentioned that there was a commercial that I just saw on TV here, and I forget what it was. I think it was for a bank. And it had a young lady who works as a teller at a bank, and she said, my name is so-and-so, I am Wells Fargo. Well, how come you don't call her up and get with her?
How come I don't call up who?
The woman that said she's Wells Fargo. You see what I mean?
Well, that's an advertising slogan. That's not to be taken literal.
No, it most certainly is in that instance, because she's saying that she carries the representation of Wells Fargo. Well, the same thing for me. And right now, Dr. Stephen Hawking, for all I know, with all of his notoriety, probably is with, I don't mean to make a joke, but that if you saw the Serena Williams profile picture, which was quite revealing, I know Hawking, I know the kind of man he is, he probably saw that picture and however he was able, probably reached out and tried to get her phone number or something.
So, all right, Stephen Hawking, are you telling me Stephen Hawking... Okay, but the point is, as a scientist, you say you're more important than Jesus.
Yes, yeah. What?
But then what does Stephen Hawking and the Serena Williams profile pic have to do with any of that? I don't know. Our number is 1-800-877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to a phone call from Molly. Hi, Molly. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't really have any questions for you, sir, as far as the doctor goes. I've never heard of you in my entire life, but I just happened to be tuning in to the radio station when I was driving down the road.
Yes,
the only thing that I have to say is, you know, you may not be a Christian, you may not believe anything at all, Buddhist, whatever you want to say, but in the Bible it does say, I have a question, you know, you think that your science is everything. You know, you think that you know the truth, and apparently you think you're more important and you're more famous than Jesus Christ is. And you know what, John?
I didn't say more famous.
Okay, well, either way, look what John Lennon said. Where is he now? In the grave. So, let me say something here.
He's in heaven. He's in heaven. He's with Jesus. Isn't he?
John Lennon is burning in hell, I'm sorry to say, sir. in the Bible, it does say,
whoever
blasphemes against the Holy Spirit.
Whoa, did you hear what she just said?
John Lennon's burning in hell. There's a man who wrote music about...
Do you want me to tell you the truth?
No, I just...
Code it for you.
No, I don't know. It's your opinion. I don't know whether it's the...
No. She's God, Phil. You got to listen to her. She knows. This is what I mean about these Christians. They got it all down. They got it all figured out. Go ahead, Molly. Lay it on us. Where are you going? Are you going to go to heaven or hell, Molly? I guess you already know, right?
All right, let's let the lady talk, okay?
Actually, I do know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, and you know why I know that?
Of course.
I have faith in miracles.
Yes, of course.
I have faith
right.
in my own life, and I have faith
it would
in
be a miracle.
Direction.
It would be a miracle, I'll tell you that. It would be a miracle, you winding up in heaven, that's for sure.
All right. What's the point? Let's get back to the point we're talking about. Dr. Turner, you said that scientists are more important.
Yes, I said more important. Yes, absolutely.
All right, Molly, you wanted to comment on that?
Science is more important than religion. Is that what he's saying, sir?
That Jesus. That's what I said. That Jesus, yes.
Science is more important than Jesus. You know, that's kind of like, that's completely, that's like me saying Jesus is more important than science. Science is there to a point, but how do you think that we all ended up here? Do you think that something just popped and then a bunch of flowers grew and here we are?
Actually, I can tell you what happened. It was a small piece of batter that exploded. A small piece of batter that exploded, and that's how we got here.
Molly, well, who created that piece of matter? Do you think it just randomly
That was the intersection of two dimensions that are beyond this dimension. There were two dimensions intersecting and created another dimension.
Okay, well, well now you're getting...
Can you explain to me, by the way,
how large are your breasts?
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man.
It's like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist.
It contains valerian root extract.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they shan't. They can't. They won't. Truth is our bitch here every night. 818. What is our number, man? I got two different numbers. I'm blowing my mind.
Yeah, people take a drinking game.
Remind me to talk about the drinking game now, the new Phil Hendry drinking game. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think it's a new drink. It's one guy on Twitter. Carrie Campbell gives her 8-year-old Botox to compete in a beauty pageant, and now she loses custody of the kid. And joining us to talk about that this hour is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. The woman gave her daughter Botox, that is, injecting Botox into this child's face. And we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley about this momentarily here on the show. 877-876-7445. If you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, then you're just letting the best part of the day pass you by, brother, because what we have is not only the largest archive of any radio show anywhere, it happens to be an archive of our show. Probably one of the single greatest radio shows in the history of man on this planet. So in other words, you get like 13, 14 years of archive material. You get the daily podcast of our show. You get our classic podcasts, which are free, by the way. You get our news feed, our news blog. You get our comment section. You get all kinds of archived video. We have our 5-day video archive. We have daily streaming video casts of the show, Phil TV, in high definition on your computer screen. And you can stream us mobile, too, either with your iPhone or your Droid. I mean, there just isn't any reason not to get a backstage pass to PhilHendryShow.com. You know, you never know when you're going to lose the good things in life, so you better hurry up and get a hold of it now. It's PhilHendryShow.com. Botox mom loses custody of 8-year-old daughter. That is the story here. A San Francisco mother has lost custody of her 8-year-old daughter after she injected the girl with Botox in preparation for beauty pageants that this child was going to be in. She was trying to treat wrinkles on an 8-year-old child. A person with knowledge of the situation, as they say in the news business, which generally means some former friend, told ABC News that the girl, Brittany, is doing well, but did not offer more detail on the ongoing investigation into the girl's mother, Carrie Campbell. In an interview on ABC News with Laura Logan, Carrie Campbell defends giving Botox to her 8-year-old because everyone else is doing it in the beauty pageant world.
It's pretty much like the thing. I'm not the only one that does it. A lot of moms do it. And I think a lot of the kids making the big impression on the lines on her face and stuff like made her, probably influenced her to want to do it a little bit more.
You're saying Brittany asked you for Botox?
We talked about it. She didn't exactly ask me about it, but I know that she was complaining about her face, having wrinkles and things like that.
Carrie Campbell says she personally injects her daughter with a Botox she acquires from a trusted source.
Like I said, I do the Botox myself. It's safe. I have no problem with doing it.
But you're 34. I mean, it's just, I'm just wondering.
I've been doing it for a long time.
You administer it because you're an esthetician.
Part-time.
Where do you get the Botox?
I'd rather not. Like, put that out there.
God,
I do have a trusted source where I get it. He is behind the doctor scene and everything.
Uh-huh. This woman's not very bright because the things she's saying there are highly suspect and she doesn't even know it. Well, I'm not going to tell you because 8-year-old Brittany talks about the procedure. Here's the little girl talking about it.
I do it, but it hurts sometimes, but I used to.
A little bit of.
And what do you do it for?
I don't know.
Well, do you do it because you see wrinkles? Or?
Oh, yeah. Like, see, like, wrinkles, and, it just, like, I just, like, don't, like, think wrinkles are nice for little girl. It hurts.
Oh, God.
And I get used to it, and...
Do you cry?
A little.
Bobby Dooleywood is from the Western Estates Parent-Teacher Organization. What do you think of this?
Well, so, you know, get the guys to turn the TV down a bit. What I think of it, Phil, and your reaction, I think we need to talk about this a little bit, because I don't think that people listening to your broadcast right now are going to understand what this really is about and the challenges that women and these children go through. We are crying out for all of these victims that we have been saddled. And when I say we, Phil, I don't have a daughter, but I've got a niece, and my sister is very much involved in trying to correct a lot of these mistakes.
Well, what do you mean by correct these mistakes?
Well, the question here really is not, should we be using Botox or not? The question is, when you're a mother and you look at your daughter, what are you dealing with? What do you have to work on? Where do you begin in shaping this child into a young lady? There are some of us, and I underline some of us. I don't know why I didn't have daughters. I am, fortunate in that I've got 3 spectacular-looking sons. I mean, any one of my sons could be a model. My sister, my niece, got a lot more of my mother's looks, I think, than either my sister or I did. And as a result, my niece is a young lady that we are challenged by. And that's when you begin to think of these solutions to what is a genetic challenge. I married a very handsome man. My sister did as well. But, of course...
Now, hold on. What do you mean by a genetic challenge? Do you have sympathy? I want to get this out clear and straight. Do you have sympathy for this woman that we just heard?
I do have sympathy for her, but not in the way that you're thinking. I think you have to understand something, Phil. I think we've heard one side of this. We need to hear the other side. I have sympathy for all of the victims of the genetic challenges that have... visited themselves upon people for many, many years. The little girl, her mother, this is all part of a tragedy that goes back, my God, thousands, millions of years.
And what tragedy is that? The fact that we're not good-looking?
The fact, Phil, that we are genetically challenged from generation to generation, and yes, we have to do something about it, otherwise... We live with the frustration of a destroyed relationship with a father who might have been there a little bit more for us.
Well, I don't know what you're getting. What you're getting into some stuff here now that is a little esoteric.
No, I'm talking to you about the Botox. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, but Senator, I told her about it.
Yes, I want to talk about the Botox. What are you talking about, a relationship with a father?
I am talking about a mother. This woman, Carrie Campbell, is that the woman did he want me to...
No.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you can talk to me.
I'm trying to find out for my husband. Isn't that why you... Is that why you called?
Yes, ma'am. We want to talk to you about the Botox story. The woman who has... She has now lost custody. What do you think of that?
I think it is a tragedy.
You don't think she should have lost custody?
No, I do not. I'm taken aback. I thought you and your staff there understood what we are challenged by, what we're up against. And
when you say we, are you talking about mothers like Carrie Campbell?
I identify with all mothers that are trying to tackle, courageously tackle, and do something about these genetic challenges, yes. And my understanding was I was coming on a radio program that supported that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Ms. Dooley, I have to be completely honest with you. No, I don't support the injection of Botox into an 8-year-old child's body, no matter what the reason, unless it is a curative, unless it's medically required, unless it is a pediatric doctor that has assessed a problem. But for cosmetic reasons?
Then he doesn't understand.
No, I thought he doesn't understand.
All right, let me start at the beginning with you then, Phil.
All right, well, you could start at the beginning, but I think I do understand.
No, you don't understand why we do this. We have been victimized by the genetic challenge of having a daughter that looks nothing like either ourselves or our husbands. In that case, when you put a child like that into a pageant, and you are really looking at a challenge now because you've got a child that is not what we would call attractive. You have a very plain-looking child. You begin to think of options. And the first option, of course, if you've got a child that has that, what we call that crone, you know, that sort of premature, what did you call that?
Sluggo's crone disease.
Steve calls it Sluggo's crone.
What is that?
That is a child with an aging face. And so that's when you need the Botox.
Yes, but why would you... I'm not connecting with you. Why would you put Botox into a child's face? Sluggo's crone, that just threw me for a loop. Why would you put Botox into a child's face, even if the child has wrinkles?
Because of the genetic challenge that child's face represents. If the child is not dealt with in terms...
Because the child is not good-looking.
Because the child is not pageant-worthy. And if the child is not pageant-worthy, then you're not winning any pageants, Phil. And the problems and the mistakes and really the pain of the past that you're trying to deal with never gets dealt with.
And what pain of the past is that?
The pain of the past...
Mr. Henry, if you don't understand, I mean, my wife...
I thought he explained all of this.
No, nobody explained anything to me, Ms. Dooley. I'm not here. I don't know why you do what you do.
When you're a young lady and you are rejected by your father, as I was by my father, as my sister was by our father, then you look to make it up to him. How do you do that? You do it with your own daughter. And you do it by getting her to win a beauty pageant. The beauty pageant that I never won. Do you understand?
Are you trying to...
Do you understand? Because that's... If you don't...
I understand the psychological dynamic you're talking about.
No, but do you understand, therefore, the necessity for a Botox injection into a child's face that isn't good? The face isn't making it. It could be Sluggo crone. It could be just plain view. But the face ain't getting it. And so you have to do something.
You don't have to do anything. You cannot put that child in a beauty pageant. But you're saying by not putting the child in a beauty pageant... And
Mr. Henry, I am watching your video cast. I don't like you pointing your finger.
I apologize. Although I'm not. I'm just pointing it in the air.
It looks as if you're pointing it at me.
I apologize. But what you're saying is you need to put this child into a beauty pageant because the child needs to win a beauty pageant because you never won a beauty pageant. And because you never won a beauty pageant, your father rejected you.
That is the psychological dynamic, yes. And so in order to heal that, we must address the face and the beauty form of the child. And if your daughter has a face that ain't getting it...
And what does it mean, ain't getting it? What is that?
It ain't making it.
Okay.
Then you do have to go to these solutions.
All right, 877-876-7445, Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, on why Botox at beauty pageants for eight-year-old children may be necessary. Because that child needs to be competitive and even win in that beauty pageant in order for the mother to realize some psychological healing having to do with her youth. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley is with us talking about the fact that some children are saddled with what she calls the genetic problem or the genetic challenge of not having the most beautiful face in the world. So you do need to inject Botox. Otherwise, Mr. Dooley said whatever that...
He said ain't making it. He misspoke.
Her face ain't making it.
Right.
877-876-7445. Well, I don't even know. I can't even imagine any woman that puts a child into a beauty pageant that would agree with what she just said. 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley, Botox injections for eight-year-olds is necessary. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, I just noticed our Phil TV in HD, we have a camera angle that sort of shoots the our studio from the side, but I always seem to have there our coffee, bud, from Starbucks.
Yeah, that's the green.
And the green sleeve always is being blasted out by the green screen, but today we have just regular sleeves on our Starbucks coffee. So in any event, it's no big deal. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us. Pardon me, guys, for making light a little bit here, because what we're talking about, I think, is deadly serious. And Ms. Dooley, I want to give you every opportunity here. Obviously, I don't agree with you to say that 8-year-old children being injected with Botox is somehow the addressing of a genetic challenge that is necessary for the healing of an adult. And that's the part that, more than anything else, I don't get.
It is a cyclical thing.
But then it goes generation.
Now, Mr. Dooley, I'd like to speak to your wife, please, just, you know, one-on-one, because I can barely hear you.
Still, it is a cyclical thing. And as Steve did say, it is generation to generation. If you marry a handsome man, if you marry into what you felt were good genes, and your daughter is born, and you've got work to do. You've got work to do.
Yeah, her face is not making it.
That's the line that I don't like. Her face ain't making it.
We're speaking in terms of a beauty pageant. And
well, I don't know what kind of language that is, but to put Botox into that child's face that, quote, ain't making it, don't you think that that's exposing that child to a medical procedure that's best left, first of all, to a doctor, and secondly, until they're 18. 877-876-7445. David in Fresno, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to say that my wife and I have had the special privilege of raising five daughters, aging from 29 to 13. None of them have ever won a beauty contest, but all of them are beautiful in our point of view. Would never think of harming any of them sticking something in their face like that. I just want to say, dear, I think we need to send a straitjacket after you and your husband, and that's all I got to say about it. You're totally ridiculous. Bye.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I'll comment. I guess he doesn't have the courage to talk to a woman, does he?
No, I think the gentleman has got five daughters, and that's all he wanted to say.
Well, I think that that is the attitude, Phil, of a man who has five daughters that probably, and I say this with a great deal of respect.
Well, don't start knocking the man's daughter's looks. What are you going to say? They couldn't make it in a beauty pageant?
Well, I think that that stands to reason. I think that's why he said what he said. Because out of five for five
is not good. This guy's not making it.
5 for 5 in the beauty pageant world is a disaster. It is a disaster.
And what does 5 for 5 mean?
It means you have five daughters and not a one of them.
Not one of them can get up to that level.
Well, this lady is got one daughter, and she's having to put Botox into that child's face. 877-876-7445. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You know, I think this is just child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you're putting your kids through things that they should never go through for no reason, so that you can feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you mean that's? Well, what do you mean that's your point?
My point was that you're putting the child through this so that she can win a beauty pageant, so that you can feel better about some rejection that your father, that you experienced at the hands of your father.
We are trying to break the cycle, Phil. If I can get my child, my niece, not my daughter, if I can get her face to the point where it is pageant, it's at the pageant level, she wins.
She doesn't experience
the rejection.
Does that make you love her less? If your daughter does not win a pageant, does that make you love her less?
It makes her father. It gives an issue with the father. That's what I'm talking about.
You just heard that man say, not this gentleman, the other gentleman, five daughters.
Well, that's all very courageous of him to say on a talk radio program. I would love to see in action whether those daughters get their father's love or whether he's rejected them all.
No.
For not being pageant quality.
Hold on. You hold the line, sir. Hold on in Akron. Hold on, and we'll be right back here. 877-876-7445. Pageant quality.
I said it was 5 for 5.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. These stories, I think they probably grab most people the way they grab me and you. When we hear of these beauty pageants for children, probably this stuff became so distasteful following the JonBenet Ramsey tragedy.
You know, I want to comment on that, Phil, because I think we have been given such a bad name because of the JonBenet Ramsey situation.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I'm, just talking to my audience here. Just regular folks, I don't know anything about this world of pageants. I don't particularly like what I see. I'm not, running around asking for laws to ban it. I'm not that kind of an activist jackass. But I will tell you, when it comes to children, I think we all should be a little bit more vigilant. The sacrosanct world of parents, it's very, very important. You know, we are Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, but when you're sticking needles into a kid's face, and for the reasons that you give...
We talk about genetic challenge. We talk about generational mutation. We talk about the love of the father. We talk about whether the face makes it or not. Is it pageant face? We talk about Village of the Damned Eyes. We talk about these things because we are trying to educate people. And
now, you're talking about Village of the Damned Eyes. Tell me, you have a list here. We've got Dan, who's been hanging on, and I want to get Dan back up on the line. He hung on through the break. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to ask Bobby here. Now, you have a list of things that, and I think this is pretty outrageous.
Well, Phil, if you're going to gang up on me with the caller...
I just want you to give this list of things that you find this is not optimum in the child pageant world. You mentioned Brooke Shields' hair.
It's too thick. You can't have that kind of wild, bushy hair. The chin dimple.
The chin dimple is bad.
Yes, it is. In the world of the pageant, yes, it is. For children, yes, it looks masculine. The clown cheeks.
What are clown cheeks?
These are children.
A child has too much color in the cheek. Not from makeup, but just natural color. It's good
These are children.
Child is healthy. Yes,
These
I understand
kids.
Their children. I know that bit of the answer.
If you're going to have a
I have three sons.
For kids, it should be childlike.
You look like, I have no idea what your wife looks like if you're married. I don't know what your child looks like, so I don't think you've ever had to suffer the way I have. I'm a woman. My father rejected me. I didn't win beauty pageants.
You know what?
See, this is all about you and your father rejecting you, and you didn't win beauty pageants. So now you got to get your daughter, or your niece in this case, into a beauty pageant.
Yes, and if she wins, she does not run the risk that I ran and that my sister ran. She keeps the love of her father, and we break the cycle.
Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with that father. Maybe somebody ought to have a talk with your father.
That would be nice, Phil. He's been dead 5 years.
What an ass.
I did not know your father was dead.
Well, now you do.
Now you do, Mr. Henry.
He died of a heart attack in a parking garage. There wasn't anyone there.
I apologize, Ms. Dooley. I truly do. I truly do. I'm sorry. I did not know.
He died of a heart attack in a...
Fell in a parking garage, Mr. Henry. His body was there all night.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I never could win a beauty...
Ms. Dooley, are you hearing yourself, though? Are you...
Excuse me. You heard what I said about my father.
I heard what you said about your father dying of a heart attack. I am very, very sorry. I'm sorry that he died in such a terrible way, in a lonely, lonely way. I mean, the man was in a parking garage. I understand that. How old was he?
My father was 75.
75. I mean, that's, you know, these days, that's young.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, don't make small talk, Mr. Henry.
These days, the nice weather we're having, isn't it?
Ms. Dooley,
You're making, these days, yep.
Yeah. What are we, on the farm? Yep.
Yeah, it's like you're talking on the farm. Yep, these days, you don't just die those days. That, forget it.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing you give a damn about your niece when you're screaming about your father and the way that he died in a parking garage at the age of 75 and you didn't get his love. That's what it's about. It's about you. It's about your sister. It's about all these grown-up women that have their daughters in these beauty pageants because they didn't get the love of their fathers, and they want their daughters to win beauty pageants so that somehow they're vindicated. Isn't that true?
Mr. Henry, I am not...
Isn't that true?
I'm not on trial.
Mr. Henry, these are things that are very personal.
Well, then Ms. Dooley's the one that brought it up, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Craig in Mississippi. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just can't understand why can't they love their children for who they are.
I do love my niece very much. I love my son very much.
But you're not accepting them for who they are, for their appearance. Are you considering the scarring that will happen to them because of all this Botox and makeup you're doing on them, what that does to them?
That's not going to scar them. The Botox will make their faces, it evens their faces out, it levels them out.
They have
more
symmetrical.
We're talking emotionally.
Right.
Not physically, emotionally, because you're not accepting them for who they are. I have two daughters, and they are the most beautiful girls in the whole wide world. And you know what? They don't have to go win a pageant for me to know that. They're beautiful because they are mine.
In other words, they're not that good looking. The way you said that. Just the way you said that.
My mother's gorgeous to me.
You said that to you, that means they really aren't.
Because you know what?
What difference does it make?
It doesn't matter what you think, ma'am.
Is that what you're saying?
My mother's beautiful. My daughters are beautiful. And there's no contest. in my mind, in my
heart.
How about
Margaret Thatcher? How about Margaret Thatcher?
What about Margaret Thatcher?
Where did she come from?
I want to know what your level of beauty is. What is your standard?
He loves his daughters because his daughters are beautiful to him because he loves them. The eyes of love.
Exactly. In other words, they don't have pageant face.
Yeah, are they symmetrical? What?
That is so superficial that your love is based upon an appearance.
No, my love, you don't understand. I love my niece. We're talking about winning a pageant. Do you understand?
If you love them, don't touch them. If you love them, put them up and say, this is my child, this is my niece.
She's going butt chin. You don't get butt chin, do you?
Yeah, the butt chin, sir, is...
Butt chin is what, the dimple in the chin?
Yeah. There's no way you're going to win a pageant with a... You know, excuse me for making a joke out of it, but there's no way you win a pageant if you've got a chin like an ass.
Right.
Okay, and so she doesn't win the pageant, and therefore your sister, the mother of that child, doesn't get she doesn't feel vindicated, and so she still has unresolved feelings about your father, the two of you, and the grandfather of this little girl. And the little girl couldn't give a hoot and a holler.
She still has, we still have Steve's, we have my mother and Steve's parents.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the relationship that you and your sister never had with your father.
Right.
And thank you for belching.
I'm sorry, Bill. I had the TGIF fajitas.
The adults are the ones that need help in this family, not the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not a slam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an insult. Mm-hmm. But
no kidding.
Jews and the adults need the help, not the child.
Jews? You just said Jews.
The child, I'm sure, is beautiful if you'll just accept her.
She's beautiful, but she's
compounding
and symmetrical. I'm trying to tell you she's beautiful, but she is off.
Her face ain't making it.
You know, when you say that about a little girl's face, man, somebody ought to smack your face, Mr. Dooley. I'm sorry. A little girl is a pretty little princess, and that's it, you know?
Exactly.
You gonna smack my face?
I would punch your lights out, man, if you said that in front of me. I've had about enough of all I can take to listen to you people talking about children as if they got faces made of Play-Doh, and you can push a chin in here and pull a face out there and do whatever you want to do with a child's face so that you feel better, so that you win she wins the pageant, so your relationship with your father is vindicated. Bizarre. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. Let's go over here now to Christine. Hi, Christine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Nice speech.
I'm good, thank you. I wasn't given a speech.
No, that was a speech.
No, it was not a speech. It was my honest feeling.
Good speech, Mr. Henry.
Well, if I may inject here, I don't think you're really breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're continuing this cycle by not accepting the child and let her be who she is and look what way she does and love her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that these issues are more about y'all issues rather than the child, like Bill said.
What do you mean y'all?
You know, it's...
I didn't hear...
Hold on. Will you let the lady finish?
She said y'all. I don't know what you mean y'all.
Your issues, you and your husband and your sister.
Oh.
Y'all are the ones with the issue that needs to be resolved. That's the only way you'll break the cycle. You're not going to break the cycle like this. This is not the way to break the cycle.
Look, it's a genetic.
It's about superficial. You've like put a Band-Aid on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, first of all, I love her. She's my niece. My sister's name is Christine, by the way. And so... I feel like I can talk to you about this. My niece, Megan, is beautiful to me. But
have you ever been in psychotherapy or therapy for yourself?
Have I had what kind of therapy?
Any kind of therapy for yourself?
What kind of therapy? Physical therapy? When I blew my knee out when we were playing tennis?
No, I'm talking about therapy with a therapist that you talk things out with.
Oh, my God.
No? You've never done that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
She's asking about going to psychotherapy. What's the big deal?
Oh, my God. Do you think I'm insane? Is that it?
Everybody goes to some kind of therapy.
No, I don't think you're insane. I think you've got some problems.
Do you think I'm insane? Do you think I'm insane? That's my question.
No. Nobody thinks you're insane. People go to head shrinkers.
You are.
Right.
Have I been to a psychiatrist?
Not everybody's crazy to go.
Have I been to a psychiatrist? Is that what you're asking?
Have you been to, any kind of counselor?
Oh, my God.
Do you think she's Sybil?
Why is that such
Sybil,
an odd question?
Why do you think she's Sybil?
Nobody says she's Sybil.
You think it's the three faces of Eve? Do you think I belong in the snake pit? Do you think I belong in Shock Corridor? Do you think I'm that woman from Shock Corridor? Do you remember that movie? The nymphomaniac that attacked Peter Breck? You don't remember
I have
that?
No idea
there
what you're talking about.
There was the movie Shock Corridor, based on a true story. A newspaper writer...
Oh, will you get out of here with Shock Corridor?
I don't want to get into that concept.
I'm simply saying...
Look,
that's not that important.
Christine, what Christine's saying is very important here. Your issues with your father are deserving of being discussed with a psychologist.
When I can solve those problems by giving myself something and my sister something that we never had, which is a pure pageant win, blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon win, Mr. Henry.
A blue ribbon. That's the gold medal.
Hon, I'm going to pray for you
Oh, my God. You're praying for
I'm
me, which is the same
for
thing
you
as
so
saying.
Much.
You know what that means? That means that's the same thing as saying... Excuse my language, it's the same thing as saying F you. It's the same thing as saying F you.
What is?
Saying I'm going to pray for you.
No, it isn't. And Christine, you're very sweet. Thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. That lady was being, I think, very nice to you.
She said I needed a psychiatrist, Mr. Henry. Now, if you ever saw Straightjacket with Joan Crawford...
Oh, come on, will you? Nobody is saying that you need to go into the snake pit or bedlam or shock corridor. No one is saying that you're some nymphomaniac crawling all over Peter Breck. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been to a therapist? Oh, what do you think? This is bedlam? The snake pit? We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. And if we weren't talking about a child, a little 8-year-old girl having her face injected with Botox, which is just disgusting, it would be a lot funnier than it is. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Wrinkles?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to play the thing.
I see, wrinkles and,
God.
It just,
I don't know.
I just, don't,
That's the little 8-year-old girl, though, that we're talking about. That's the child who says, well, I don't like wrinkles. What child could actually make that kind of a call? What child could make a decision like that, Ms. Dooley? You're defending the use of this Botox for children, and I'm wondering how does any mother, any responsible mother, let the child make the call?
So I don't think, unless you're in the world of, there's a lot of pressure on those children. They want to do their best. They know that if they win the pageant, that their mothers and their grandfathers are able to reconcile. And
you're telling me the kid knows that?
I think instinctively, yes. I really do. You know, Phil, it's interesting you talking about me and my perception, agreeing with that caller that perhaps I needed therapy. I heard you say during the break, talking to Mr. Rance, that in the film Mommy Dearest, the daughter was played by Diane Lane, not Diana Skarwit. Diane Lane, at the time, would have been about 60 with a big, fat rear end.
point. We need a psychiatrist.
I got the name wrong.
And I need a psychiatrist.
That's not needing a psychiatrist. That's getting the name wrong on an actress. It was Scarwood. 877-876-7445. Here is Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Mary. Hi to both of you. I just have a question.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Respectfully to you, why do you feel like every single child has to be a pageant winner?
Well, I don't know that every single child can be a pageant winner. Obviously, they can't. Should every single child be in a pageant? I think there is a case to be made for that, because when you look at, Mary, your relationship with your father, and...
I don't know what this has to do with any pageant.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Mary. Are you there, Mary?
Yes.
I think that when you and I look at the relationships we had with our fathers, we need to repair those. The best way to do it is to win a beauty pageant. We didn't, did we? You didn't, I didn't. But we do have a chance with our daughters or our nieces.
Why do you feel like that's the best way to rebuild that relationship? Why can't my father be proud of me because I'm a good citizen, because I'm a foster parent, because I take in stray animals, because I'm a, you know, there's so many, because I volunteer at the homeless shelter, because I am a dentist, because I mean, there's so many. I don't understand why that is the only way.
It would be great. It would be great if he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't respect you for those things, just as my father doesn't. So what else is left to us?
Why do you think, though, that my father does respect me for what I do, and I'm not 6 foot tall, and I don't have long blonde hair, and I don't have blue eyes, and I'm not a model, and I'm not winning pageants, but you know what? I sleep at night knowing my father loves me.
Okay, all the things you just said there, you're not 6 feet tall, you don't have blue eyes, you don't win pageants. Well, then, obviously, you've got a problem with him.
Why?
What?
Because of all the things you just said. Didn't you just say that you're not...
She's just said that her father doesn't care whether she's 6 feet tall or blonde.
My father accepts me as a child. As a child who was created in the image of God. I mean, I don't know. When God creates something, I don't know that we need to, like, mess with it superficially.
I don't either. I just wish that our fathers loved us more so that we don't have to put our children through this, so that the genetic... So the genetic problem can be solved with a capital G and a capital P. The genetic problem.
What genetic problem is that?
The kid's face isn't making it.
We can't be cookie-cutter people. We cannot be cookie-cutter people. Not everyone can be, you know, with no wrinkles and no dimple in their chin.
But we can try. We can try.
No, we don't have to try.
Why would we want to try? Why would we all want to
do the same? So we don't scare people. So that we get the love of our father and we don't scare people. Yes, we don't. Yeah.
It's
so that you... No, you've got bigger problems. You've got bigger problems than that.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Because he's more of an entertainer and he's a happy, rich man with a happy family.
It's there. It's right there. You don't have to look far. You don't have to stare.
It contains valerian root extract, rose hips extract.
I am Stephen Hawking. I do not believe in God or the afterlife. It is a fairy tale. I do believe firmly in one thing. You should listen to The Phil Henry Show. I have a backstage pass to keep me entertained.
Thank you, Doc. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Not only do we have Hawking as a fan, but...
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Henry Show, and I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
All right. Anyway, boy, cats are...
Life's not doing too good. My guy got a mechanical voice and stuff.
Yeah, things are a little rough in the world. Some of our favorite people have mechanical voices, Roger Ebert and Stephen Hawking, although Stephen Hawking's had his for a long time. And I knock wood.
That was glass.
Well, it's not really glass. It's just, anyway, you don't have to tell people that I don't talk with a mechanical voice someday.
Your lips to God's ears.
Thank you very much, bud.
Knock wood.
Right. All right, coming up, we're going to... What are you doing?
Not wood.
I told you it wasn't wood. Get out of here. Anyway, coming up this hour, Margaret Gray is supposed to pay us a visit. She's going to sing. She's going to reprise her singing of I'm Calling You or whatever the hell... whatever that song was.
But I laugh, man. She's going to be pissed off.
All right, well, it was pretty funny. What's the name of the song?
It's called Calling You from
Baghdad Cafe.
Yeah.
Bad Bag. So she's going to be on here. And a couple of other things that we're going to get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show this hour. 877-876-7445 and the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. If you go over there for a backstage pass, you get thousands of hours of archive material. You get our video archives, which are up to 5 days. We save our video casts up to 5 days, but we also save the odd video rant in ad infinitum. And we also have, of course, our daily podcasts, our archived audio, our classic Phil podcasts, our news feed, our blogs, your love, and my parental instincts. And plus our shop, the Phil Henry Show merchandise store. Head on over there and pick up a new Phil Henry Show T-shirt, baby. As a matter of fact, we have it there for you on our video feed right now. We have that baby in large. We got it in extra large. We got it in... What are the sizes, bud?
We got large, extra large, double X, and triple X.
Triple X. And we got the triple X because, and I say this with great love, I got a lot of fat slobs that listen to the show. I'm one of them. Don't worry about it. And one of our fans, one of our listeners in Alaska, the cat's a truck driver, he said, Phil, you know, you got to get some sizes in there, man, that I can wear. So that's what we did do. So check it out at philhenryshow.com. That's our shop. Now, I was talking to Rance. You guys wanted to hear this, right?
Yeah, about that. You talking about something you did this weekend on a diet.
You're on a diet now.
I'm on a diet. And, who isn't on a diet? I'm on a diet, but I'm on a major diet. And, I've lost about 25 pounds, and I feel good about that. But every now and again, you blow it out. Calorically, you blow it out. By that, I mean you just go off your diet and you eat something that you shouldn't. They're saying more and more that that's not such a terrible thing, you know?
Yeah, well, that's because your body ain't going to get used to it.
Well, but I mean, what they're saying that, you know, every now and again, if you go off of your diet and you eat like you used to, what's happening is the body doesn't necessarily go into starvation mode. It thinks, oh, we're getting back to normal eating. Because if you are, if the body perceives that you are losing fat, then the body may go into this starvation mode, which is it'll hold on to it. You won't lose as much weight as you wanted to because the body is holding on to it because it is thinking there's a famine on or there's not any food, so we need to retain energy. It's not quite as drastic as it sounds. It can happen in a very, very small way, but nonetheless, the thinking is that if you go on a diet and then every so often you go off the diet and eat the way you used to, that you the body adjusts a little bit better. Now, the thing that happened to me yesterday, though, had nothing to do with the diet.
Yeah, well, you're nuts.
Well, thanks, bud. Whatever that means.
You're just nuts.
All right, so I'm nuts. What happened to me yesterday was quite different. For some reason, I was not able to sleep very well this past week. And on Saturday night, after I got off of the KFI show, we do our Saturday night show locally in Los Angeles that ends at 10 o'clock. And all right, so fine. So it ends at 10 o'clock. And so I was on the phone, you know.
What's that?
Well, it's like a phone, except it's a foon. No, I was on the phone. I don't know why I said foon, you know.
Well, it's all right. It could be a phone. Was it like a cell phone?
Yes, it was a cell phone. Get out of here, a cell phone. Anyway, I was on the phone talking to Barry Louise, and then I got off the phone, and I made a little bit of dinner, watched a little bit of Tube, which is what I usually do. That's how sexy and exciting my Saturday nights are. You know, I mean, let's face it, man. These days, during these recessionary times, Jack, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just working and sleeping. That's it, if I can. And if I can't, that sucks. So I am up all night. Well, on Sunday, now rolls around Sunday, and now I'm feeling really crappy. And the food that I'm eating, which is, like I said, I'm on this paleo diet. It's this just a caveman diet of meat and veggies and meat and veggies. And that's it. And it's so boring. And for some reason, it doesn't feel like it's kicking my blood sugar up. By late afternoon, I felt horrible, man. I felt like I wanted to just jump in the ocean and never come up, you know.
Were you depressed or something? You want to kill yourself?
Well, I wasn't depressed like I wanted to kill myself. I just was just dragging. I felt down. I felt biochemically just jacked up, man. It was not good. And plus, you know, here at the El Pacifico, when the summer hits, and on the Phil TV and HD image, you're looking at a non-typical May day. That's a very beautiful picture outdoors. We are showing you a shot of the beach. The sun's out, and there's the Channel Islands. But generally here in the summertime, we got cloudy skies because the fog gets sucked in. So I was just bummed out. I didn't know what to do. I did know what to do, but I didn't want to do it, you know.
What'd you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I did. And I was down on myself, and I thought, you know, if that's what I need, then that's what I need. I went to the store. I looked in the freezer section, and there was a half gallon of ice cream. I don't know what kind it was, but it was like a fudge vanilla something or other, right?
Oh, my God. You went home and you binged-eated.
I didn't binge-eated.
Well, what'd you do?
I went home and had ice cream, man.
You binged.
I didn't binge. Binged-eated. I had some ice cream.
How much?
Hey, you know what? What are you guys? What is that?
How much did you have? Did you eat the whole half gallon or did you not?
Over 2 days.
Aha!
Well, I did, man.
I knew it, man.
But I got to tell you, here's the thing I want to tell you. I ate that half gallon of ice cream, man, and I never felt better in my life.
Really?
Absolutely. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. And I ate that half gallon of ice cream. I felt fantastic. I slept like a baby. It's crazy. Now, I'm talking to a friend of mine today, and she says to me, well, you know what that was? I said, no, I don't know what that was. She said, you were feeling so bad, and you were feeling a little depressed about life. I said, yeah, I kind of was. She said, and you needed something from when you were 5 years old. I said, why would that, because she's a doctor, I said, why would that make me feel as good as it did?
Well, I mean, what kind of doctor? Is she a physical doctor or is she a head shrinker?
That's none of your business.
That means head shrinker.
That's none of your business. Head shrinker.
Yeah, I knew it.
All right, so anyway, she said, well, that is you returning to your five-year-old days. You were feeling bad, you were bumming, your life sucked. You had this and that and on your mind, everything else, and you just wanted something that was going to make you feel like you were a little kid again, and you were just, there was no problems in the world. And I said, you know, you may be right, you know, because I don't know why. I said, I thought I was just craving sugar, because there's no sugar in my diet. She goes, a little bit of that. Yeah, sure, there's, you know, we're all, like, addicted to sugar. She goes, but the feeling you got was way far in excess of any good feeling sugar's going to give you. Which, of course, is going to give you a lift. She said, you got a psychological lift from that, didn't you? I go, yeah, I did. She goes, that was you reverting to the age of, like, a little kid, and all you wanted was little kid stuff, you know?
You ever eat a half gallon of ice cream when you're five? That's the ridiculous thing that I ever heard.
She's not saying I ate a half gallon of ice cream.
Then what's she saying? Then you reverted.
Bud, you got to be the stupidest guy I ever talked to in my life. Don't you understand what she's talking about?
I know what she's saying.
No, but this idiot. She's saying, if you're a five-year-old kid, what did you have when you were five?
I don't know.
Well, did you have ice cream? Do you think maybe you had ice cream?
I don't think so. I had pizza.
Did you have ice? All right, pizza.
But I'm never craving pizza.
You know something? You're just dumb, man. That's all there is to it. You're just dumb. When you're a little kid, you like ice cream. Most normal kids, not you.
But, you know.
And so that's what I did. And I felt fantastic. And I'm telling you, I never felt better. I never felt better in my life, but I felt fantastic.
Well, man, sometimes that's what you need, you know? I mean, who knows? You know, who knows?
Only the shadow knows, man, I think. But I had the ice cream, and that was the end of that. That's all I needed. Today, I'm back on the diet, you know? But, yeah, sometimes you just have to bust it up. And psychologically, you may be doing a good job. You know, I've lost, like I said, a lot of weight. But you may be thinking, oh, this is great, you know. But the day, especially on a weekend, and I think the thing that was bumming me out more than anything else is I have given up cigarettes over the last year and a half. I don't really drink. You know, man, I've battened down the hatches, dude. I barely have any contact with any friends or anything. The only contact I have is with people that I work with. It's just been basically a work mode for me for the last 4 years, you know. And so around rolls, the only day off of the week that I got. And what am I doing? I'm sitting there eating the same damn thing, you know.
Yeah, like nothing changed in a week.
It's like it's not even a day off. So I want to have a day off, so I go and I eat ice cream, you know.
Like last week, you said you left the Triscuits or something?
Triscuits? No, you mean the Wheat Thins?
Yeah.
That's what happened last week. That, you know, I'm in the market, and what was the big treat that I, the real big deal treat that I gave myself last week? Wheat Thins. Big deal. Big deal. And guess what I do? I leave them in the store.
Why didn't you go get them?
I was too lazy.
See, that's the thing. I don't understand that.
I didn't want to do it.
You could have got those Wheat Thins back, man. You let the store have them back. You paid for them.
I didn't want to go.
You're not very motivated.
Yeah, that's right, bud. There's all kinds of stuff wrong with me. All right. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray coming up later to sing. We have some news that we need to get to. And one other thing that I forgot about. Oh, I'll remember. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, there's a drinking game. There's a drinking game. I don't know how widespread, based on me. I don't think it's very widespread at all, but I thought it was interesting, so we'll talk about it. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have live streaming video of our show, Phil TV in HD, as well as all of the archives of this show going back thousands and thousands of hours, as well as our daily podcast. In fact, if you're watching our show right now, Margaret Gray is joining us online from, excuse me, she's joining us by way of phone, from Santa Monica. And Saturday night, we had you on the show. David, you're there as well. And Saturday night, we had Margaret on the show singing, calling you from Baghdad Cafe.
That is correct. And we want to congratulate Margaret because she will be starring in a stage version of Baghdad Cafe that we are going to mount to my production company. And it'll be opening in Los Angeles next week. So, Margaret, take it away.
Thank you. Phil, how are you this evening? First of all, thank you for having me on again. I know you had me on Saturday night.
Well, it's good to have you back.
And I want to tell everyone that we're excited about doing Baghdad Cafe, and I will be singing one of what I think is one of the most beautiful songs ever written, Calling You.
It's a gorgeous song.
And the part that I'm working on, Phil, is a little difficult. You know, you don't know Javetta Steele, but you know her version.
Well, Javetta Steele's version of Calling You, yeah, that's the signature version.
Well, there's a part where she goes, can't you hear me now? You know that part?
Yes, I do.
That's the part I'm working on. So it goes, a desert rose from Vegas to nowhere, a little bounce, blah, 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 coffee, music. I'm calling you. Can't you hear me now? You know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, go ahead.
Well, she wants to make sure that you know the part so that you don't think that she's screwing it up on purpose.
Yeah, okay, I know the part.
Then say it.
He's very slow.
You're a little slow, Phil.
By the way, I heard that, Miss Gray.
What did you hear?
He's a little slow.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry, but you are. You know, here, you deal with him, and then I'll
deal with you. So,
oh, you'll deal with me, huh?
Yeah, she's getting ready to sing. So, anyway, Phil, here's Margaret Gray, and she's going to sing Calling You from
I forget, you guys messed it up. It was called a bad bag.
Baghdad Cafe.
All right. Go ahead.
Here is calling you, Phil, from Baghdad Cafe, a gorgeous song. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. A little cafe just around the bend. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. Somewhere better than where you've been. I am calling you.
Can't you hear me now, Rob?
Okay, come on.
Did you just interrupt me?
Yes, I did. What do you mean, can't you hear me now?
Oh, my God.
Why'd you interrupt her?
Are you kidding me? She's like, she's playing it for laughs.
No, she's not.
I can't hit that note, Phil.
Well, you barely hit the high notes on that. I'm sorry, but you did.
How dare you? You know something? Saturday night, you were very complimentary.
Saturday night, you sounded like you had your voice in tune. Tonight, it's a little harsh.
Oh, well, excuse me, Mr. Hender. I'm so sorry that I'm screwing up your Monday night.
Margaret, it sounded like...
No, I know what you said.
You're going to try it again, Phil, and this time...
Well, if she's like, I'm calling you, can't you hear me now?
I didn't do that.
The hell you didn't do that, bud?
Yeah, it sounded pretty hardcore to me.
Yeah, it sounded kind of butch.
Butch? You two, those two retards that work...
Please don't use that word.
She's allowed. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray...
She's allowed.
...with calling you.
A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. There, I like that, yeah. Let me do that again. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. Yeah, that'll get it. All right, let me make a notation here.
Well, are you going to sing it or not?
Hold on for it. Hold your horses, okay?
Hold on, Phil. All right, make a notation there.
Yeah, I like that. Desert road, okay. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. A little cafe just around the bend. Make a note of that. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. Just a little cafe to all.
Oh, you got the words wrong.
I know it. I am calling you.
Can't you hear me?
All right, I must.
Get him out of here, will you, bud?
All right.
Can't you hear me, dude? Yeah, that doesn't sound real, man.
Oh, she sounds horrible. If she figures she's going to go and do it that way, and she's doing, what's she doing a play that's 20 years old and a song that's 30 years old and
Can't you hear me now?
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, but she's trying to practice it.
Well, good. She can do it off the air, man. Coming on here and going, make a note of that. Are you kidding me? A little cafe, just a bad day.
But a lot of us all here laughing about that, man. He pissed off.
I don't care what pisses him off. Let him be pissed off. Sounded asinine, if you ask me. All right, coming back with our drinking game and more news. Oh, guess who is not going to run for president? What a shock. Not. When we come back here, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Of course, our website, philhenryshow.com. Right now, you can, if you're looking at the Phil TV, there's our lovely T-shirt. Get it, baby. We got it in all the sizes. Plus... Of course, we have our coffee mug. Of course, we have a coffee machine just around the bend. No, the coffee mugs, the shot glasses, and our best of CDs at philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.
I'm calling you.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I mean, I'm sorry, I just held up the... there's a picture of Serena Williams in the news today. And Serena Williams is one of the Williams sisters, a great tennis player. And she had a picture up on Twitter that is quite, I think, beautiful. And Serena Williams is a woman with, shall we say, quite the fetching posterior. And she knows it. And there's a picture of her in heels in a silhouette behind curtains. So it's a super sexy picture. Now, they asked her to take it down. And one of the reasons why they asked her to take it down is because there was a little bit of a backlash. I don't know if it was a backlash because she's hot or because, and yeah, that's right, I said hot. And for you guys that don't like a chick with an ass, I don't know what to say. You know, there is help. A psychiatrist, maybe a change of diet. I don't know what you need, man. But people didn't like the picture because she was being stalked. Police had caught the stalker days before. The stalker had used Twitter to track her down. And now she has this picture of herself looking all gorgeous with her beautiful ass in this silhouette. Now, we were discussing this, myself, Rance, Bud, and Robert, and we all came to the same conclusion. You know, stalking is against the law. And while there are things we do to make ourselves safe, and there may be things we do not to make ourselves safe, the fact of the matter is it's against the law, and this woman should be allowed to be the woman that she is in any way she wants to be. And you cannot say, oh, you shouldn't put that picture up because that's going to provoke stalkers, because we're back in the mentality of 1843 when, you know, the boogeyman was causing everything and, you know, the mojo was causing everything and the guns are causing everything and the video games are causing everything and the bad TV is causing everything. The bad TV, the only thing it causes is more bad TV. So you ain't going to tell me that I don't get to look at this because some jackass was stalking her.
Heard that.
In any event, so if you've got Phil TV, there it is. That's just a side note here, man, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, man, I think that, you know, what about a woman being safe?
Women should be safe. Robert, don't get me wrong. If you dress provocatively, you have every right in the world, and we cannot make the mistake of saying, you got raped because, you got stalked because. We can't do that. Stalking is a mental disease. Any guy that does it is sick. He needs to have a baseball bat to rearrange his head, his brains, or whatever the hell else he needs rearranged. That having been said, of course you try to keep yourself safe in a reasonable way. There's a lot of guys in this world that are rude, crude slobs. There's no question about that. But when you cross that line into stalking, rape, anything that obviously is injurious, you don't put that on a woman. You put it on the guy, the individual that's doing it. Okay? So don't tell me that she doesn't have the right. She has every right in the world to put that picture up. If it's, you know, if it's not, you know, doesn't run afoul of obscenity laws, which it doesn't. And that's where that's at, you know.
Yeah, you just want to look at her ass.
You're damn right that's what I want to look at. What if I made any, you know, I'm not trying to make a secret out of that. What do you want to look at?
Well,
yeah, that's a good point, man.
Okay, bud. Anyway, Phil Henry's show here, and here is the story that we really wanted to kick off with. This is a fascinating story to me, and it will always be, because it's just, I guess it's the story of what might have been. You know, that's always an interesting tale. It's not always the happiest of tales, but it's always a cautionary tale. It's always a tale, I think, that, you know, we can learn from, if you'll pardon the use of the term tale, having just talked about Serena Williams. Anyway, Donald Trump will not be running for president. I think that was probably news. Maybe Donald's the last guy to have gotten that, because I think the rest of us probably figured that one out. And there was a time when Donald Trump could have run for president. There was a time when Donald Trump might have even scored himself the Republican nomination. And there was a time when Donald Trump might have even made a decent run at Barack Obama to be president of the United States. And it wasn't too long ago. But Donald Trump, probably even, you could even make a case Donald Trump blew it even worse than a Hillary Clinton or a Giuliani, except for the fact that he didn't have the big poll numbers those two had, and he didn't have the big lead those two had for the length of time that those two had. But I believe that no one has taken a decent presidential opportunity and butchered it alive as badly as Donald Trump did. This guy, as if he just didn't want to be president. He ended his months-long public flirtation with the 2012 presidential run money, saying that he will not seek the Republican nomination, even though he says he could have won the election. That's Donald Trump up one side and done the next for you. Oh, yeah, I could win it. No, he couldn't have. He couldn't have won the election after the damage that he did to himself any more than he had anything to do with Barack Obama showing his birth certificate. After considerable deliberation and reflection, I've decided not to pursue the office of the presidency. The decision does not come easily or without regret, especially when my potential candidacy continues to be validated. Blah, 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 blah. I maintain the strong conviction that if I were to run, I would be able to win the primary and the general. Yeah. I've spent the past several months unofficially campaigning. Ultimately, however, business is my greatest passion. Well, here's where Donald Trump can say whatever he wants. And we can certainly listen to these actualities if you want, and then we'll tell you what really happened. At the NBC Upfront's presentation, this is where NBC rolls out what TV shows it's going to have on the air in the fall, and Celebrity Apprentice is one of them. Donald Trump made two announcements. He will return for another season of Celebrity Apprentice, which was not his decision, it was NBC's. But he won't run for president.
This will be our 12th season, and I have to say, I love Celebrity Apprentice. We've raised tens of millions of dollars for charity. We've never raised so much as we have in the last season. I've decided that we are going to continue onward with Celebrity Apprentice. We're going to continue making lots and lots of money for charity. I will not be running for president as much as I'd like
Yay.
To. And I want to thank everybody very much.
People
thank
applauding
you
that.
Very much.
Anyway, Sid Dinerstein, head of the Republican Party. Is that the cat's real name?
Yeah, that's what I figured out.
Sid Dinerstein, head of the Republican Party of Palm Beach County, told WBFB-TV the race for president 2012 will not be very exciting without Trump.
It means we're going to be a little more boring as we select our nominee. That was the advantage of having Donald Trump in the race. He says things other people won't say, and most Republicans don't say a lot of things they ought to say. So that would have been an advantage. He would have made everybody a little bolder and more outspoken.
WBFB-TV spoke to West Palm Beach, Florida voters asking why they think Trump isn't running.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man with a happy family. And I just think he doesn't need to be president.
I think he just does things sometimes to just shock people, but also to get people thinking.
Here's why he's not going to run for president, because he blew it out of the gate. He blew it by making an issue of Barack Obama. Now, when I say out of the gate, what I mean is when people started to get interested in him as a possible viable candidate for president, they got interested in him because he made, as we've often said on the show and will continue to say, he made very relevant, intelligent, challenging statements about the economy, about America's place in the international scene, about America's place vis-a-vis the international economy, about American trade with China, about China carrying American debt, about OPEC, about the oil, energy resources or lack thereof of the United States, and how we could address all of these problems. He did it with confidence. He was very inspiring, I think, when he spoke. And he also, I thought, when he spoke of those issues, he did it in a way at the very beginning that did not necessarily polarize people in a partisan way. You could be a Democrat listening to what he was saying or a Republican listening to what he was saying. He was talking business. That's what Donald Trump was talking. He wasn't talking politics. And it was refreshing. And if ever there was a case to be made for a man from the world of business to be president, and the case has been, you know, made off and on down to the history of this country, everywhere from the H. Ross Perot's of the world to the John D. Rockefeller's of the world. Oh, yeah, every now and again, they want to put a businessman up for president of the United States. Oh, look at this guy, runs a business so fantastic. And, of course, sometimes cooler heads prevail and they say, well, it's not quite the same thing running a business as being president of the United States. Nonetheless, Donald Trump got out of the gate, I think, very smartly and then stumbled, as they say, in the horse racing game, having just seen the Kentucky Derby a little more than a week ago. He stumbled. He stumbled when he started talking about Obama's birth certificate. He didn't need to do that. There's plenty of other people doing that. Plenty of other people doing that. Now, some people might say he was talking about the birth certificate as a signal to the rest of us that he's not really serious to be president. Donald Trump is not in this world to make himself look stupid. Donald Trump doesn't get out of bed in the morning to go out there and make himself look like a clown. Donald Trump wants to promote Celebrity Apprentice, yeah, but he's not going to do it at the expense of his image as an intelligent man, as a reasonable voice on the American scene, as a potential leader, you know, of this country. He's not going to go out there and become somebody's birther clown. He made a tactical error. He made a, it was more than just a tactical error. It was self-immolation, and it was surprising. It showed that Trump, for all of his business savvy, doesn't understand politics. When he went out there and said Obama this and Obama that about the birth certificate, you saw, he wanted to ask you, who the hell have I been listening to for the last 2 months? Is this guy stupid or something? The answer is yes. Yeah. For as smart as he is when it comes to politics, Donald Trump's an idiot. And then he followed it up after Obama came out with the birth certificate by claiming that it was he that forced Obama's hand. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, if Donald Trump hadn't have been there, the noise about the birth certificate was going to continue, and sooner or later, Obama was going to release that birth certificate. Then he followed that up with something about Obama's grade. So in other words, what this guy did was what we don't want in this country. He went from talking about issues that we were in love with it, and we liked it, and he sounded smarter than any other clown we were listening to in those days, to going to the lowest common denominator and talking about Obama. Who cares? I got it already about Obama. I know what's wrong with Obama. I've heard up six ways to sunset what's wrong with Obama. I've heard about this is wrong with Obama, and that's wrong with Obama. That's great. Obama, 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 Obama. Now tell me what's right about you. And I don't want to just hear the same thing over and over and over again. I don't want to keep hearing some guy say, all we got to do is cut taxes. Because if all we got to do is cut taxes, why do I got to, who, you know, why even have a primary? Just any guy that says cut taxes. If that's the guy's plan, I don't need Romney. Anybody. Paul, he'll cut taxes. So Donald Trump starts going on about Obama's grades, so he still doesn't get it. He's still talking about Obama until finally the raid that killed bin Laden also killed Donald Trump. Because Trump, that night, that Saturday night, was sitting there at that correspondence meeting, staring at Obama with a frown on his face as Obama was trying to have some fun with him. The birther thing. And there's Trump staring at him like, I'm going to get you, like Trump's some formidable guy. Trump got his ass handed to him. And it wasn't so much that Obama did it. It was that the history did it. The timing, the events of the world did it. When that bin Laden raid went down, the whole world was Obama's stage again. And Donald Trump was some jackass worried about a birth certificate. And that's what killed Donald Trump. It isn't that he thought about it and decided he wants to do Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump's ego is presidential size. It's national politics size. It's the national stage size. He's not some clown on television. But he's got nothing else because he blew it when he could have been a viable candidate for President of the United States. What, bud?
Yay! That was tight, man.
Are you guys being sarcastic?
No, but you got to go to the break.
I know I got to go to the break.
I figured if you give me an applause track.
All right, we'll go to the break. Anyway, enough about that guy. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I didn't even do the drinking game thing yet, have I?
No, who cares?
I do. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment of the show tonight. Excuse me. That was a joke.
Yeah, Mrs. Dooley belched.
Yeah, I know Mrs. Dooley belched. You're the guy that should be on the phone with her telling her not to belch. Okay, the drinking game, apparently, Robert, you know more about it than I do.
Yeah, some guy said that every time you screw up the phone number, they take a drink.
Oh, is that the Friday night show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What happens on Friday night when we do our local show, I give our national phone number out. And I always do it, and it's gotten to the point now where they're taking a hit. You got to take a pop every time I give out the wrong phone number. And I would have to say, on any given Saturday night, I will be saying, instead of the 1-800-5201 number that I give for the local station, I give out the national 877-876-7445, probably about a half a dozen times.
So that's a half a dozen shots they got to take.
Yeah, depending upon the drinking game, you're either slamming shots or you're doing something. So every time Phil butchers the every time Phil butchers the phone number, there you go. I don't know. Don Lemon comes out in his book, Transparent. The CNN weekend anchor, Don Lemon, is gay.
Hey!
Don't do that. CNN weekend anchor, Don Lemon, is, or John Lemon, no, Don Lemon is gay. Pardon me if I'm joking about it, but isn't it sort of, it's becoming old news, isn't it?
About what? About Don Lemon? No.
No, not Don Lemon, but about just any celebrity. I think it's important. I think people that are gay should come out, because I think the more people that are gay that come out, the tougher it is for people that are opposed to, for instance, you know, gay marriage and things like that, to say this is some sort of an aberrant, whack, weird, squirrely, you know, sick lifestyle, or whatever it is they say, because, you know.
Yeah, but you know, all the guys on TV, everybody on TV is gay.
Not everybody on TV is, you got to be kidding me, right?
No, he's kidding.
Well, but I mean, everyone that come out gay is on TV.
Who?
Lance Bass.
Lance Bass was in a singing group. He was on TV. He was also a lot of other places. Who else?
Melissa Etheridge and
Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres of TV.
Fine. Everybody on TV is gay. Anyway, CNN weekend anchor Don Lemon explains why he's coming out as gay in an interview with CNN's Brooke Baldwin, who's also gay.
I figured if I'm going...
No, she isn't. I'm just kidding. Here is Don Lemon.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist and I'm going to ask people to tell me the truth,
right,
and I'm going to try to expose truth, then I need to be truthful about who I am. Not that it's some confession that I need to make. I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
know, Brooke, certainly, you and I are friends, and you certainly know about me.
Yeah.
And most people at work do know about me, but it's not something
yeah.
you people talk about. It's like the neighbor. It used to be, oh, my neighbors are really nice people. Do you know they're black? And you whisper about it, but it's something you don't say. So why not talk about it?
Then he went on Larry King's show, and Larry asked,
are you gay?
And he said no. So,
did?
No. By the way, Don got that whole whisper thing from my mother, who was talking about her Aunt Gladys. Now, anyway, I abhor hypocrisy, Lemon told the New York Times, especially that spick Rick Sanchez. He didn't say that.
Oh, man, are you sure?
He didn't say that. I abhor hypocrisy, Lemon told the New York Times. I think if you're going to be in the business of news and telling people the truth, of trying to shed light in dark places, then you've got to be honest. You've got to have the same rules for yourself as you do for everyone else, Rick. Rick Sanchez is gay.
Really?
No, not really. Will you just pay attention? Excuse me, man. The 45-year-old anchor's book chronicles his personal life, growing up without a father and being molested as a child by a teenage male neighbor.
Uh-oh.
Now it got serious. Good Lord. And his career as he worked at a local station in Philadelphia, Chicago, and New York before starting at CNN. God. He was cautious about detailing his personal life in the book, a project that was just supposed to be an inspirational pamphlet. I'm talking about something that people might shun me for, ostracize me. He said he was scared about coming out. Lemon made no secret of his sexual orientation. Co-workers and managers knew he was gay, and the network had assured him of support, he said, but he is being fired tomorrow because they can't take the heat. No.
God, man, I'm going to get on the phone.
No. All right, Don, congratulations, man. We're screwing around, but good job. And one more thing.
Are you gay?
All right, the Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical direction, of course, by John Ilk. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Henry Show's strong right arm. PhilHenryShow.com for all your Phil Henry Show needs. See you tomorrow. Or tonight. Or tomorrow.
And that's just the way it is.
Hendry.